Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. God bless you. This is Apostle the Watchman, Apostle Stephen Amaker, and Deliverance by Faith Radio Service. And we're so glad to be with you again this week. Thanking God for what He's done. Thanking God for what He's doing. And thanking God for who He is. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. And I love him. I praise him. I thank him for everything he's been to me. How about you, Lady A?
Amen. Thanking God for another week. Praise God. It's been chilly, but still thanking God that it ain't no snow. So I still got a lot to be. We have a lot here in New York to still thank God for. I just love him on today, and I appreciate him for all that he's already done and thanking him what he's going to do. And just thanking him that. We're going to have some summer weather soon. Praise Jesus.
That's it. I'm excited. I'm super excited about tonight's service. We have a special treat, a rarity, but we thanking God for her obedience to the voice of God. And I'm excited. I can't wait to hear what God has put in her mouth for us. Is there a word from the Lord? And I'm honored to say yes. Yes, I know that if this person says they have a word, they got a word. And especially to say that they want to minister, they got a word. And so without further ado, it is my honor, my extreme privilege to present to the world my beloved wife, my pudding, my best friend, Lady A. God bless you, Lady A.
Thanking God on tonight. As you said, Holy Spirit is just so awesome. I tell you, He is just so awesome. Yes, He impressed on me, too, that He wanted me to do an individual teaching on tonight, and I, you know, even though, you know, when you've been, you know, God is calling you in and wanting you to do ministry, and I'm kind of one of them behind-the-scenes people that will just do all I can to boost you and help you get up there, but, man, don't ask me to get up there and do it. And so, but the Holy Spirit has been working with me, and I have to honor Him on tonight. I do honor the Lord on tonight. Praise Jesus. I honor the Holy Spirit for being in our presence on tonight. Yes, I do. Because it is Him that had impressed on me the word to speak on tonight. And when I told my husband, I said, okay. And I guess he said, let me take that because she don't normally do that and I normally don't. But the Lord wanted me to speak on tonight and to help out on the broadcast. And I'm the kind of person, I will do what I can do. So I just honor the Lord, and I just thank Him on tonight for what the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us on tonight. My subject on tonight is, you say you are my sheep. You say you are my sheep. Then why are you not following me? Why are you not following me? Why are you not following Christ? Why are you dipping in and out of the Word? Why you have go to church? You have go to Bible study? You don't really give God no time. But when stuff gets crazy in your life, then you want to come to church. As I heard Apostle say one time, you want to hold up the line and you want them to pray and you want an instant fix on what's going on in your life. And God is not, what you call you just use Him for instant stuff. That's what the world does. But we as His children, that's not what it's about. And then subtopic was, you say I'm your shepherd. The Lord is talking. You say I'm your shepherd. Then why are you not following me? You say you're following me, but you're not really following me. Okay, our first scripture tonight, we're going to St. John 10:10. St. John chapter 10. And we're going to start at the first verse. And here in this chapter, it has, my Bible has three subtopics: Jesus the true shepherd, Jesus the good shepherd, and the shepherd knows his sheep. And we're going to read about those tonight. And the reason why Jesus, you know, we don't really have to build him up, but he is who he is because of who he is. And Apostle has been talking about the good shepherd. He has been talking about the irresponsible shepherd. He, we've been talking about the hireling in Ezekiel chapter 34. And so when the Holy Spirit kind of impressed, he said, you know what, I gave you a subject about that some time ago. And so he had me to pull that out, and so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. You say you are my sheep, then why are you not following me? You say I'm your shepherd, but why are you not following me? God wants us to, Jesus wants us to follow him. He wants us to follow him. St. John chapter 10, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climb up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. I want to stop right there for us. He who climbs up some other way. And as we know, the word of God, God has given us the way he wants us to go. When we got and we came to the altar and said we wanted to receive Jesus into our life, right then Jesus became our shepherd. And I think I'm going to probably repeat myself, but I'm trying to flow with the way the Spirit of the Lord wants to go. Even though I got stuff written, it's still, you know how it goes. Speakers, you know how it goes. Climb up some other way. God don't want us climbing up some other way. He don't want you to make up your own way. He don't want you climbing and say, oh, I know Jesus got it wrote down in this Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. He gave us this Bible that we are supposed to go by once we receive him as our personal Savior. He becomes our shepherd, and then he gives us the instructions. He's not like some people, let me say churches, that when you come to the altar and you give your life to Christ, some of them don't even give you instructions on what you do after you receive Christ. Some people didn't grow up in the church. And so they don't know the protocol. They don't know what they're supposed to do. Some of them don't even have a Bible. But look here, God give us the way that he wants us to go. He give us the instructions on how he wants us to live and how he wants us to live the life that Jesus died on the cross for. He said if you climb up some other way, and I call that another way. When you do stuff other than what the Bible tells you to do, then you're trying to climb up another way. You're trying to do it another way and think you're gonna get the end result of what he originally died on the cross for you to have eternal life, but you're gonna try to go up another way and still think you're gonna get the eternal life that Jesus died on the cross for. It don't work that way, saints. It don't work that way. It says, verse 2 says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. We got to come in by Jesus. We can't come in no other way. No other way but the way that he has set up for us. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and calls his own sheep by name, and lead them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We're supposed to know his voice, and we are supposed to know the word. That's why we are supposed to get in the Word. That's His voice talking to us. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know a stranger's voice. We're supposed to be able to recognize a stranger's voice. We ought to be able to recognize strange words that's not in line with the Word of God. We're supposed to be able to recognize that. We're going to go to the other way, means that Jesus has set the way and that we should not allow the world, that's what I want to say, the world to reset. Reset. That means you're going back and trying to do it over again. We should not allow the world to reset the way that Jesus, the way Jesus has set His word. Jesus became our shepherd, and we have to allow Him, and we have to continue to depend on Him to be our true shepherd. Okay, verse, you have anything you want to say right there, Apostle?
Say that.
I say, is it anything you want to say right there? I'm going to move on to the next.
No, keep going. You can go. Okay. You're on the roll. Go ahead. I'll come in later.
Okay. Verse 7 says, Jesus said unto them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, they may have it more abundantly. And that's what Jesus came for. He came that we have abundant life. The thief. You know who the thief is? The thief is the devil. The devil is, once you give your life to Christ, he is ever trying to pull you out of Christ. But the Spirit of the Lord has said that he will keep what he, you have committed unto him. He will keep you. But if you don't want to be kept, guess what? He can pull you right out of Christ. And so, you know, I have heard that save always save. It ain't one save always save. You can walk away from Christ if you want to. Jesus died on Christ. He gave us, let me back up, he gave us free will. And because he gave us free will, we can come to him and receive what Jesus gave to us, but we can also turn our back, just like the world is today. Those that have not become believers in Christ, they have turned their back on God, and they're not serving God at all. And the world's way of doing things, they won't call on and look up till tragedy happens. That's what the world does. But that is not the way we do things. When we give our life to Christ, when we give our life to Christ, we are there. We should be in 100%. And just like there are the good shepherd and the true shepherd, there are also false shepherds. It says the false shepherd puts out the sheep to rid themselves of trouble. But the true shepherd puts out the sheep in order to feed them. And I don't know if you've been listening to our broadcast, but Apostle has been talking about the irresponsible shepherd and the shepherd that don't care, the hireling. You know, when you read this chapter a little bit more, you will see they talk about the hireling in there, I call it the false shepherd. I will be classifying them as the false shepherd. They will bring in these false shepherds or these hirelings in to rape and pillage the people. And we have seen that. Apostle, I have seen that in our lives, in our salvation, because we have been, you know, to a few churches. And we have seen this. And we have seen the pastor bring it. And they'll stay at a church for, oh, my God, weeks and weeks on a time. And, Oh, my God, and even to talk about it, to just even to reminisce about it when I was thinking about this lesson on today, how we were in one church, and, oh, my God, and the pastor knew maybe three of them now. It was more, but these people that was there, they had money. And it looked like he was just pouring them out, this evangelist or pastor that they bring in, and it looked like they prophesied to them, and next thing you know, they're calling these people, oh, we want somebody to give $1,000. Oh, we want somebody to do this. And they just really be picking them people out, and they be pillaging the people. That is a harlot. That's not a good shepherd. And if you're anybody that's listening to me, and if you're in a church and they are doing this, get in the Word, especially if it's unsettling your spirit. Please get in the Word and read what a good shepherd is. And guess what our measuring stick is? The Word of God. God left us the Word of God in order to for us to measure stuff by. Stuff shouldn't be over to if. I mean, sometimes I understand that God may allow you to go through some things so you can learn. And that's what he's about. Processing us and taking us through, and you went through this, now you got to learn from it. And we as sheep, we got to learn. We got to learn what to do and what not to do. We have to learn that. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Is your leader or your shepherd? Let me say your leader, because God is a good shepherd. He's the shepherd of us all, and the pastors that he calls, then he is the one, you know, we sit under them, and so they are the one that feeds us, which they're supposed to get the word from God. But will your leader lay down his life for you? But a hireling, who is he? He is not the shepherd. The one who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming. Saw him, see him. See wolf coming. Know what kind of people they are before they bring them in. But it's all about the dollar. And if everything in the ministry that you're in is all about a dollar, something wrong with that. And if they're not feeding you the spiritual you need to have in order to make it in this life. God gives us the word, and the shepherd is supposed to be a feeder of the sheep. He's supposed to look out. And it shouldn't always be that we're the sheep is always given to the shepherd. The shepherd should sometimes be given to the sheep. I thought about this here. It came to my mind, and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I guess that's an example I need to use. You know, I look in the gospel newspaper that come out, and it said, oh, we're giving a big celebration for our pastor's birthday. I said, why are you having a big old banquet for his birthday? I do understand celebrating, you know, giving homage and honor to a man or woman of God. That is not what I'm talking about. They give him a birthday every year. They have something to raise money. I said to myself, your people in your congregation got a birthday every year, too, just like you do. I can see the milestone and the pastor turning 80 years old, and, you know, and the congregation want to get together because he's celebrating a milestone. I can understand the milestone. But this every year, you giving the pastor a birthday, for big old birthday celebration, where you got to buy tickets, where you got to buy tickets for $100, and still on top of that, give another offering. To me, I personally don't think that's right. I said, what would it say if the pastor, especially when you got a smaller congregation, or maybe 100 or 200 people, how about you every month, pastor, have a big cake made and give all, give them $20 gift card. Give all your members a gift card in the congregation. How much more would they think of you? Oh, our pastor blesses us. I got a pastor that blessed me. You don't think that would cause other people your ministry to grow? Because they see, oh, we got a pastor that cares about us and not always caring about what he can get from us. It shouldn't always be that way. And so that was it. The good shepherd. Who does not? Women. Animals. The hireling who flees and calls the hireling does not about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Our sheep should know us. Our sheep should be a blessing to us, but we as leaders should be a blessing to the people. Should be a blessing to the people. Okay, we're going to go down to verse 25. The sheep, the shepherd knows his sheep. Verse 25 says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. The sheep knows God's voice. And if anything, you do not believe, but you do not believe. There are people that don't. They really don't believe God. You got to believe God for yourself. Jesus described three characteristics of his sheep. They hear his voice. They follow him. And they shall never perish. The three, that's our characteristics. That's what we should be growing in our prayer. We should know the voice of God. And when we know his voice, we're going to follow his voice. We ain't going to just follow anything. We're not just going to always we're not going to be like the world where we don't believe God. The unbeliever, he said the unbeliever going to have their place in the lake. So if they're the unbelievers, that means, guess what? They're not saved and they don't love God. They don't believe in God. They don't believe him to the point that they're going to change their life. They don't believe him. That's why they can't hear his voice. Thanks. Praise the Lord. And now we're going to go to John chapter 3. Says that we must be born again. Everybody know that scripture. So we must be born again. And when Jesus comes into our lives, we are born again. And we have to, that's when our nature and when the way we see things change. You're not going to change if you are unbelieving. You are not going to change. Everybody is not his sheep. If you don't believe God, like I just said, you're not his sheep. We have to come to a place where God's word has to be our final authority in our life. We as sheep, we as believers, that's what we're modeled as a sheep, as a believer. We have to come to a place, like I said, where God's word has to be our final authority. I don't care who around you, mama, family, daddy, sister, your best friend, no matter who it is, God's word has to be final authority in our life. It has to be, saints. That's why I believe sometimes God, when you're going through stuff, instead of you getting in the Word of God or talking to the Holy Spirit, you don't talk to him and everybody else. And so God kind of allows stuff not to happen. You trying to get in the Word for yourself. Make His Word yours. That's why the Bible says every man got to give an account of himself. That's why the Word of God says, examine yourself to make sure you are standing where you're supposed to be standing. God should not be our last resort. He should be our first resort. Okay, son? Our next verse is going to be Psalms 23, and I know. I know everybody knows. Woo. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He does all that for us. He does that. That shows he's been a good shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of the death, even when you're going through stuff and you feel like you're going to die and you ain't going to bear up under the weight or whatever situations you're going through, he said that yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. You're not going to fear because God is with you. For you are with me. And right there, I want to go to St. John 14, 15, and 18. I may do that a couple of times. 15 and 18. 14. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world cannot receive it. So if you go talking to someone that's not saved yet, sometimes cannot comprehend what you said, the Holy Spirit, the Lord said. They can't comprehend that. Except, how you talk to God? God talk to you? You know? So the world cannot receive because they neither see him nor know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you orphaned. He will come to you. And that's, I read that scripture right there in conjunction with Psalm 23 to let you know that when we receive him, Jesus in our life, he says, for he is with us, for you are with me. When we read this one in the third Psalm, we're going through something that says, the Lord is with me. Oh, baby, the Lord is with you. But if someone has not been regenerated, they're not a believer, they're unbeliever, you can say to them, Jesus is with them, or the Spirit of God is with them. Even though he is with them, they don't understand that. So the scripture that I'm reading is to let you know that he is with you. You can talk to him. I depend on him for so many things. I depend on him. And he told me early in my salvation when I would be going through things and I really don't have nobody I could talk to. And I don't know, I always ask him, why you ain't put me a good girlfriend or something in my life that I could talk to? I did have an aunt, but she passed on, and when I do, I could call her and talk to her. And I knew myself, would, you know, whatever I'm talking about, it wouldn't go nowhere else. But guess what? I found out that the Holy Spirit, you can talk to him, you can have your tantrum, you can fuss, you can just, you're all upset. He'll listen to you. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit because he will get you through everything. I mean, he'll let you get it out, and he'll sit right there just being a gentleman and just let you get it out. And once you get it out and you cried up your tears and he dried up and he said, baby, not dry up your tears. He'll put some sad where that sad needs to go. And next thing you know, you don't come out of what you're going through. And you'll be like, wow, oh, my God, this was just tearing me up the other day. And you look back and see the Holy Spirit done got you. He said he'll be with you. He'll be with you all the way to the end. The world, people in the world can't say that. They can't say that the Spirit of God is with them, although he is there. But still, until they call on him in salvation, he's not there. He's there, but he's not there. Once you read the scripture, you can understand when I say he's there, but he's not there. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He will comfort you, saint. He will comfort you. When people are going through and you're looking at the, you know, the bushes just lost their mother, you pray God comfort them. Comfort them. Because the Holy Spirit, he will comfort you. He will comfort you, and he will comfort them that don't know him in order for them to know that he is there to comfort them. They may not realize it right then, but then they'll come through and say, oh, my God, he did comfort me. And they'll become aware. God uses all kinds of situations in order to make himself known to us. That's why his word says his goodness rain on the just as well as the unjust. So he is working with them now. He's working with them. He is working with those that are not saved yet. He is working with them. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Yes, it do. Surely follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, he will. And it shows his love for us as our shepherd. When he is our shepherd, he is there for us. He is there to get us through everything that we're going through. And when we are going through our situations in our lives, he is there. He is there. When people are not there, he is there. You can get yourself in a quiet place, and you can talk to him, and, oh, my God, he will. If you talk to him, he'll talk back to you. Oh, yes, he will. Praise Jesus. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 3:11. Need to say anything?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're teaching good. Stay on the roll.
1 Corinthians 6:8. Oh, praise God. 6:8 says, know you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Oh, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know? The word here says, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived, saints. My subject is, you say you are my sheep, then why are you not following me? You're not following me because you're being deceived. Matthew 7:18, we're going to go there. Matthew 7:13. Enter in by the narrow gate. Enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And the reason why I am going there is because you're not following it. Somewhere you want to do your own thing. Somewhere you're looking over the fence. I call it looking over the fence. And you're looking at what the world's doing, and you're supposed to be following Christ. And you're doing things that the world is doing. And that's not what Christ wants for us. That is not what Christ wants for us. But wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And the wide way, you can take everything. If you look at the church today, they're doing, some of them are far from the scriptures. Some of them only preach certain things. They stay away from certain stuff, but they over here all into this over here. And it's a Broadway, and you still some is living so close to the world that they're just doing it. But then they come back to them, and then they want Christ to be in their life. And that is not the way it's supposed to go, Saints. It's not supposed to go that way. We can't. The scripture is true, just what it says. It says, and there be many who go in by in. You know the word of God is not lying? The word of God is not lying. He said there'll be many who will go in by it. That's the wide way. It says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there'll be few that find it. You cannot bring the world ways into your salvation. You can't do that. They are two separate things. They are two separate things. When you got saved before Christ, you did all these things. But now that you're in Christ, you leave that behind and you start walking the way the Word of God says walk. He gave me an example here. You up here in New York, they have buildings that's real close together, real close. Some of them, you can see just I think if you look at it, it's there, a cat neck can go down there. Or sometimes the space is big enough, a person can go down between them two walls, and you can look down and see the light at the end of the build, at the end of it. As you know, if you walk straight through, you can see the light at the end. And in some of these foreign countries, they have buildings like they're real, real close. They're so narrow that you can walk. But if you try to take stuff down that little fast, narrow path with you, you can't take nothing. You might just slide your body through that, and whatever you got in your pocket, you can go through. But to take something down there, you can't take nothing with you. You have to go down. That's how the narrow way. That's what I'm trying to explain to you about the narrow way and the wide way. The narrow way, you can't take the world's way down there with you because it's broad and wide, and they have so much stuff going on. They got this going on, and they got that going on. And God is telling us to sanctify ourselves. He's telling us that you got to be holy. You got to sanctify yourself. You know, he is requiring holiness of you. You can't do that over there. You can't sleep with that one over there. You can't do that. And we're going to get to that in the next part of this verse. You can't do all that. But you know what? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Okay, we're going back over here. It says, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves of covenants, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? If you practicing any of these things I just said, and I want you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 through 11. I want you to read that. That's in the Word of God, saints. That's in the Word of God. You cannot live any kind of way. You cannot still be doing the things before Christ, and then you say you give your life to Christ, and then you're still going to practice and do the things you were doing before Christ. You cannot do that. You are being deceived. You are being deceived. Did you hear me? You're being deceived. You cannot practice these things. And I hate it that some pastors don't even touch these words. They don't tell you you got to live holy. They don't tell you God is requiring righteousness of you. They're not telling you that you got to sanctify yourself. They're not telling you you got to live right. But you go to church and they preach this simple message to you, and you be saying, well, I didn't know. But you know what? You're still not going to be able to blame them because the Word of God is the Bible. When you come into Christ, you got to pick up this Bible and read it. You can't continue to go to church every Sunday and depend on what you're going to get just from the pastor's mouth. You can't. You've got to open yourself up and sit down and start in the New Testament and start reading a chapter a day or half a chapter a day till you get through it. Little by little, you'll get through it. I know sometimes it may overwhelm you. Like, oh, it's so much in here, and I don't know where to start first. Start with the New Testament. Start with the four Gospels. Know about Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins. He died for you. In case they didn't tell you when you received Jesus, he died on the cross for you, and he left instructions here for you to follow. The world got their instructions. You don't continue to follow the world instructions. No, you don't. You got to turn. And when you came to Christ, you were supposed to be repented. You're supposed to be repenting of your sins. That means turn. You can turn. That means I'm not going to go that way no more. I'm not going to do them things before Christ no more. I remember when I got saved, had a boyfriend, y'all. Woo! And you know, before Christ, the things you do before you got saved. All of them been there. Hey. And when I gave my life to Christ and I told him I gave my life to Christ, he said, no, you didn't go down to that church and get saved. He knew I had really did. And I said, yeah, and we can't do them things we used to do no more. I made a change. I said, no, we can't do that no more. No, and that's the same way we all have to come to that place. When we give our lives to Christ, we change and we stop doing the bunch of them things we know we're doing wrong. Especially when you come into Christ, because that's not associated. Adultery and fornication and idolatry and all this stuff. We know that's not associated with Christ. Oh, my God. No, it's not. It's not associated with it. And you know what verse 11 says? And such were things some of you. We all have had an apple out of that barrel. We all have had an apple out of that barrel. All of us used to be this sort of stuff before Christ. All of us have. Nobody, I don't care if you done got saved, unless you got saved when you was a child and you just been in church all your life and never went out there. And there are some that have gotten saved when they small and they never went, ain't never been out there in the world and tried none of that stuff. But it says, such were some of you. We all been there. None of us can never look down on nobody else and look down. I know that nobody, because we all have been there. Before Christ, we all have did something. It says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Wash means spiritually cleansed by God. You were spiritually cleansed by God when you came to him. Sanctify means set apart as God's people. Now you're God. You belong to God. You don't do those things, though. You're not going to do these things that's up here, what I just read prior. Adultery, fornication, idolatry, extortioners, revelers, drunkards, haters. You're not associated with that life no more. Because God has justified, meaning declared you righteous by God because of Christ's work on the cross. Because of his work on the cross, you have been justified. You have been declared righteous. Yes, you have. We are all righteous. When we turn and come to Christ, we have been declared righteous. So therefore, we don't walk in that way anymore, saints. We do not walk that way anymore. And Malachi 3 and 6 says, for I am the Lord, and I do not change. God don't change. His word is not going to change. His word is his word, and he is his word. And you know what? I want to read this. Turn to Matthew 25:32, but stay right there, too. I want to read this here because we're talking about the sheep. We're talking about the sheep. And when I thought about it, I said, you know what? We are the sheep. The sheep of this pasture. And I said, but the sheep, we are not goats. He said, we are the sheep of this pasture. He didn't say we are the goats of this pasture. We are the sheep of this pasture. And I'm going to read this. He's talking about the sheep and the goats. And And this, you can read, you know, the whole thing later because I'm going to skip around a little bit. And it says, all nations will be gathered together before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides. You heard that? As the shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. You know them goats be like, but I want to do it my way, but I want to do it this way. But no. Yeah, I understand all that, but I want to do it my way. And you can't have it. It says, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed are my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. Now, you know that's what we all looking to hear. We all are looking, even the people, even the unbelievers out there and the world is on top, when they got, you didn't think you can hear that. But they're not a sheep. They're not part of God's sheepfold. Okay, now we're going to talk about the other one. Verse 41 reads, then he will all say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these will go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. If you are an unbeliever, you're a goat, hell is going to be. Those people that don't want to see Christ, and even some of them, they believe that there is a God. They believe there is a God. They don't want to live for God. You want to live like hell here on earth, and you don't want to life to Christ on earth. But you want to die for heaven. That is not going to work. That's not the scripture. That's not his scripture. And that is not going to happen like that. And I hate it. Like I said, there are some things I hate, and I'm sure the Spirit of God hate it when he have a shepherd or a leader that's a congregant over people, and he's not telling them the truth. You can't live any kind of way and go there. They don't even mention hell. They don't tell these people that if they don't get their life right, hell is going to be their home. And it says here that he prepared hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't prepare that for his creation. But if you don't want to make a solid decision and a choice to serve God, don't think you're going to live any kind of way and you're going to be one of them butts. You're going to be the goat, but I'm going to do it my way, but can't nobody judge me but God. Guess what? This word right here, right now, is going to judge you. The same word that you won't pick up. The same word. You keep talking about, God didn't write that. Yeah, he didn't inspire the people, but that's them own people. That's them people's opinion. That's them apostles' opinion. That ain't what God said. But God left us the word here for us, so he knew people were going to try to discount. Them are the ones that's going to be in hell. Those are the ones that's going to be in hell. All right, we're going to go back to First Corinthians 6. I think I already done finished that up. And so I just thank and praise God. He said, You say you are my sheep. Then why are you not following me? You got to make up your mind to follow Christ. You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind to stand. You got to make up. Can't nobody do it for you. You got to make up your own mind to stand in Christ. Yes, you do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 is our next scripture. Ephesians, we almost on home stretch here. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. We are to be imitators, saints. He is our example. He is the one that we imitate. He told us in his word not to measure ourselves by each other. You don't look over there and measure yourself by somebody else and what they're doing. We are to imitate Christ. He is the example that has been set before us. He's the one we're supposed to be imitating. When you look at appreciate these people in the world, some of them hurting themselves, believing it, doing all this cosmetic surgery instead of being beautiful in the way in which God made them. Don't try to be like somebody else. Be imitators of Christ. That's what his word says right here. And it says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Look at that. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitted for saints. We're not saints. We are not his saints. He said, don't let the world ways be named among you, especially once you don't turn and repent and you say Christ is your shepherd. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving up for this is you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Apostle called me to that scripture. And I said, wow, wow. If you're practicing and doing these things, you don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of God if you're practicing these things. I'm talking about practicing. Practicing means you do it over and over every week. Not of that. It's a let no one deceive you with empty words. Let no one deceive you. That's the word, deceive. Didn't we just run across deceive back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Don't let nobody deceive you with empty words, telling you you can do what you want to do and think you're still going to die and go to hell. No, you're not. No, you're not. He said those are empty words. For because of the things of the wrath of God came upon the sons of disobedience. You don't want the wrath of God to come upon you. No, you don't. Therefore, do not be partakers. Don't be partakers with the world. We're in the world. Are in the world. We are in the world. Yes, we are. And we got to live in this world till Jesus come get us. But because we live here, don't mean we have to partake of everything that come down their pipe. That don't mean we got to go over there and pick up everything that they do. We don't have to do that. He said, separate yourself from that stuff. No. Taste not, touch not, handle not, right? Woo. That's in the Bible, too. Woo. It says, believers are to follow the example of God's action. We believers are to follow the example of God's action. He loved us when we were still his enemies. As imitators, believers should demonstrate that type of self-sacrificial love. We should be demonstrators of his love. We should be demonstrators of his love. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You were once in darkness. Remember I talking about before Christ? You were once in darkness. He said, but now you are light in the Lord. You're supposed to be the light. The light so somebody else, you're living the light so somebody else can come to Christ too. And it says, you know, people don't read the Bible no more. But they do know when you are supposed to be living right. If you say you name in the name of Christ, guess what? They know what you're supposed to be living. So you, and then when they see you do crazy stuff, then you can't minister to nobody. Then you're not. Then your salt. Where's your salt go? Now here we go about the salt. Where's your salt? Because you're living any kind of way, talking any kind of way, and you're over there trying to do what they're doing. Oh. You say I'm your shepherd. Come on, you got to follow me. You got to follow me. It says, walk as the children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is the acceptable to the Lord. and having no fellowship. You hear that? And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. God don't want us to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. No, he does. That's in his word. I didn't say that. That's in his word. You can read it for yourself. Read it. Read it. Woo, but rather expose this. We're supposed to expose the sin, even in ourselves. When we know we ain't quite got over and God is still working on us in areas, because remember that, we were born in sin. So a lot of us done been exposed to some stuff, and God is causing that stuff to fall off of. It's kind of, so when he's shining the light on it, and the light is his word, when he's shining the light on what's going on in our lives, we are supposed to expose it. And when the light exposes, when the word exposes, and what you supposed to do? Lord, forgive me. Help me. You got to open your mouth and ask the Lord to help you get past this, help you overcome it so that you can be an overcomer. He said to him that overcometh. And we are overcomers in Christ. It's something we're trying to overcome all the time. I don't think we're going to ever get it all done until Jesus comes. We're going to always be working on something in our life, saints. We're always going to be working on, oh, you say you my sheep. Then are you following me? You got to expose it. You got to expose it. Don't let no prophet have to come and expose your sin. Get before God. So when the word comes, and pastors preaches, and the word comes, and God allows the light of his word. Don't get mad with the preacher. Say, Lord, it ain't me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've been just trying to close my eyes and act like it ain't there, but it's there. And he's telling you, open your eyes and see it's there. Expose that. Confess that. Repent of that. Do that. Repent of that sin. Repent of that. So when you repent of it, then you can do something about it. He can do something about it. But if you're going to hold on to it and act like it ain't there, guess what? You'll be going round and round, and that stuff will still be bothering you. And next thing you know, the enemy got a foothold, and then next thing you know, you're looking over the fence because now he got something he can try to woo you out with. That's why he tell us to repent. That's what he said. You know, that's why he said, we can walk around and think we all perfect in every area. We are not. That's why he gave us an out. We repent of our sins. We repent every day of something. Something. You're going to say something, do something, say something. You're going to do something. And you got to repent of it. And that's why he gives it. Repent of it. And then he'll come along and just wash it and take it on away from you. And then you won't do it no more. But unless you acknowledge your sin, guess what? It's still left. It'll still be there. The next time you get angry, it's going to still be there. Because you didn't acknowledge it, didn't repent of it. Next time, the enemy said, okay, I think I got me a toenail hole. Okay. He won't expose it, but I'm gonna expose him, and somebody else going to see it. You're supposed to be. Have you ever heard somebody, and I thought you were saved. See, you wouldn't have never probably had to go through that if you had just went on when he exposed it, repent of it, and ask God to get and work on, I'm not going to do that no more. But you got to confess it. If you don't confess it, it's still there. And guess what? The devil exposed it. I thought you were saved. Then where's your testimony at? Where's your testimony at? Okay, thanks. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. The world out there doing some crazy stuff. These people like pornography. Man, you don't want to get caught up in none of that crazy stuff out there like that. Because once you, I told my husband, apostle, I told him, I said, once you see stuff, the devil going to never let the picture go nowhere. That picture is that. And you might don't think about it, but at any moment, the devil can put it. He can break it before your mind. You'll be sitting up in church, preacher. Here come the devil. Shoot that picture right up the line. You'll be like, come from? You, number one, you wasn't really thinking about that. You think you listening to the preacher. But because you don't see that, he'll shoot it in your mind at the inopportune time. Damn, you shouldn't even be thinking about nothing like that. And you probably wasn't even thinking about it, but the enemy, because you have seen it, he can shoot it in your mind, through your mind at any time. And we don't want to give him that type of, you know, authority in our life. You done seen that stuff over the person. That once they see that, then they go back by the figure. If you look at TV and you hear the stuff that's on it, and I be telling you, I don't want to hear that. But he said, but you need to know what's going on. You need to know what's going on with people. That's going on with the world, but guess what? That same stuff is going on in the church. The people sitting up in the church thinking that stuff. They don't look at priority. They don't let somebody, come on, let's sit down and look at it together. Come on. And then you look at that stuff. And then when you look at that stuff, now you got a mental picture of that stuff in your head. You can use that to get rid of it. And then you don't have a partner and you're single. Pray, oh God, I pray for the single. You see that stuff, then you kind of form that stuff. And then you're looking at your child. Oh my God. How can this grown man do this to this child? Come on. Get somebody your age. Look, I would roll for the steel while they get a prostitute. But they won't. No, you're going to mess with somebody's child and hurt them and damage their life. That's the devil. And if he get a toehold in your life with crazy stuff like this, and you don't expose this mess and ask the Lord to wash this stuff in you, wash it, Jesus, take it away. And when it comes, he gave us a scripture for that. I think it's 2 Corinthians. It says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You got to cast it down. Open your mouth and cast it down. You got to cast it down. You don't open your mouth and cast it down, that picture going to stay right there. When that stuff comes, you know what? You got three. You got an arsenal. You got the word of God. You got the blood. And you got the name of Jesus. When them pictures come before in your mouth, the blood of Jesus. See, the devil bank on you not knowing. And when you don't know, you ain't going to say nothing. He bank on, oh, they was in church, but they didn't hear what he said. They didn't hear what he said. That's why take notes when you go to church. So because God allows you to hear what you hear for you, he will. And then you write down what you hear so you can go back and look at it later. And it'll be for you to help you get over whatever's coming up in your life. See them come up? Woo! Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifested by the light of the word of God. And for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you the light. It says the believer's position has changed from darkness, sin, to light, righteousness. Believers are to change their walk to correspond. Change your walk to correspond to your position in Christ. You got to do that. You got to change your walk. You got to stand flat-footed and say, I don't care what's going on around me. I'm gonna position myself in Christ and stand on his word. Woo! You got to do it, saint. You got to do it. You got to do it. Praise God. Verse 15 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissension, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Hallelujah. To walk circumspectly is to step I'm sorry. To walk circumspectly, we should watch our path to avoid contact with undesirable influence. And do you know he was the enemy, the demon, the devil was seeing people in your life? Will try anyway. He will try to send those type of people in your life. It says redeeming the time means taking advantage of opportunities for service. We each have a limited amount of time on this earth. Paul exhorts us to use as much of that time as possible for advancing Christ's purpose in this world. And that's supposed to be our purpose. Our purpose is to win and help somebody else. That's why we are supposed to be helpers one to another. We're supposed to help each other. We're not supposed to be jealous of each other. We're supposed to be helpers one to another. It says, do not be unwise, but understanding, discerning the will of the Lord is not a matter of feelings or emotions, but of mental understanding, y'all, a mental understanding, applying our minds to the scripture. That's why we have to get into the Word of God. God has kicked out every excuse from under us. We don't have an excuse because we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We are supposed to have each other. We are saints. We're supposed to have each other's back. We're supposed to be there for each other, saints. We are there. We are supposed to be there. We are there to be helpers to each other. Come on now. That's why he says singing songs, spiritual songs, in your heart, making a melody to the Lord. We're supposed to be worshiping him, praising him, honoring him, giving him thanks for all that he's done for us. That's our new song. That's for the melodies, that the happiness, the joy that God gives each and every one of us. And he is not finished with his wisdom. He's not finished with his understanding. Whatever you don't understand, God will give you understanding of. Oh, yes, he will. He said, any man like wisdom, let him come to him and ask. All you got to do, I've been saying all night, you got to open your mouth and say, you got to talk. You can't depend on nobody else to talk. You got to talk. You got to open your mouth. Praise the Lord. And we're in home stretch here. Our last scripture is still your scripture, and it's talking about the whole armor of God. And this is the armor that God has given us. Well, a lot of us don't put it on, but he has given it to us. The suggestion I'm going to make is, I heard an evangelist once say, you know, when you're taking a bath, you get out the shower, you know what? Put your armor on every time you take a bath. Every time you take a shower, put your armor on. When you wipe your head, take the helmet of salvation. Take the breastplate of righteousness. Loin with truth. Be shod with the preparation of God. Take the shield of faith, one arm, the other arm, the sword of the spirit. Put on your armor every time you take a shower. And you'll be doing what the Word of God says do. Okay? It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't think the devil's going to leave you alone. He ain't going to leave you alone. He's going to be doing something through somebody. And that's who he works through, somebody. Oh, my God, and especially them somebody that are unbelievers. I'm not going to, I'm not going to break down these. I'm just going to read this. And in your leisure time, you go back and read it. But it don't hurt to go back and read it again, because God will open up something new in it again, because his word is new. God's word is pregnant. You might have seen it and read it that time, but guess what? When you read it this time, he may show you something. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. Woo! Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You got them demons, you got the principalities, and you got, because see, you know what? As I said, I heard an evangelist say too one time, said, we don't warrant the devil's attention. He send his imps, he send the demons to do things. Because a lot of us is, you know, some of us are just that weak that it don't take much. So he send them demons. And so you hear, you see these levels, the levels of principalities here. But he has given us the solution to that. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And you know we're in the evil day. And having done all to stand. That means don't move to the left, don't move to the right, and your show can't back up. Don't you back up? No, you can't back up. So you stand, and you take your armor and war with the word of God, war with the armor that God has given us. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, okay? Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, you're going to do right. You're going to do right because it's right. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, woo, come on, peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with you, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, as they throwing them darts at you, throwing them evil thoughts at you, throwing stuff at you. You can take the word of God, and you can hold up the word of God and quote the word of God, like Jesus did in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. When the devil came throwing them darts, guess what? Jesus used the word. That's our example. That we are to imitate him. That's why he put it in the Bible, so we can imitate it. When the devil comes, the devil came to him. When the demons come to us, guess what? We are to take out the word of God and use the word of God in our situation. Example, imitate it. We are to be imitators of Jesus Christ. And it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, saints. God has given you a heavenly language. If you don't have one, ask him for it, and he will give it to you. Being watched to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all things. We are to pray for one another. We are to pray for one another. We are to call each other saints, our names out in prayer, if we know who they are. In closing, we received Jesus' gift of salvation. We received it. Our charge is to love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our body. And that's in Matthew 22:37. And walk in obedience to his word. God is requiring obedience of his children. You say you following me. You say you following me. You got to walk in obedience to me. If we say he is our shepherd, then we need to act like it. We need to act like he's our shepherd. Hallelujah. We can't be switching back and forth when it's convenient. And I know some people that do that. Long as stuff is fine in your life, you don't need God. You put him up on the shelf. He is not a God of convenience. And guess what? The word of God says that he is a discerner of the thought and intent. So he knows your thoughts. He knows your intent in your heart. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from your pastor. You can hide it from folks. But, baby, you cannot hide it from God, because he sees everything. So then when you're trying to get stuff done over here, and I'm going to just skip out and do this over here, you know, won't nobody know. But the person who knows is God. You got to realize that. God here, his eyes are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. So he sees you. He sees all of us. You might not can see everybody all at one time, but he does. Oh, yes, he does. It says that that's what the world does. We are not like the world. And we don't treat him like that. God is more to us than that. He is precious. He is so precious. He should be so precious to you. Oh, my God. What he did, what Jesus did for us should be so precious in your mind and in your heart, should be so precious. God knows everything, your heart and your motive. He loves you so much. He does not walk away from us. He don't walk away from us. You may walk away from him, but he don't walk away from you. A lot of his children turn their back on him and go over there because they see the shiny stuff over there in the world. I will not say the world don't have nothing to offer. They got a lot of stuff over there. They got a lot of stuff. But wait and let God give you that stuff that you what you're looking at over there in the world. Wait and let God give it to you in his timing. Because you can be saved with stuff, saints. You can be saved with stuff. But some people, they saved and they got stuff, but, man, you don't see the love of God in them at all. They stingy. They won't help nobody. They won't ride nobody in them cars. No, they ain't getting in my car. Oh, no, I ain't picking them up. Then that ain't God. That blessing didn't come from God. Oh, no, because God wants you to help people. He wants you to be a blessing to people. He wants us to help one another. Praise God. He's standing right here. He's standing right where you left. If you left him, if somebody's listening to this broadcast and you done left God for a minute, he's standing right there waiting on you to come back. He's standing there. And I'm going to tell you this last thing. I don't know if you've seen the news on the weekend. They had a hurricane. And the woman and her husband was riding into the tornado. It was a tornado. And the lady started crying, and they didn't know if they were going to make it through the tornado. This is real. It was just on the news over the weekend. And do you know that she was saying, honey, I love you? She was telling her husband that she loved him. But do you know what I heard her say? And they didn't show it again on TV. She said, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins. Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins. Oh, my God. You know what? Everybody may not have that chance that this young lady had. He brought them on through the storm. They showed it in the end. God brought them on through. What? Because she had opportunity to say, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins. I can't believe they played it on TV. Everybody don't have that chance. You might see that shiny stuff over there. There are a lot of PKs, pastor kids. Soon as they got up and got out of their mom and daddy house, they out there in the world, wide open. Oh, my God. And they done got mesmerized because the enemy got a hold on them. He got a hold on them. Oh, my God. And all the big mamas by gone now. And hopefully big mama prayers up there, and God will honor big mama's prayer. Save my grandchildren. Save my great-grandchildren. Oh, my God. You may not have the opportunity. You may say, oh, I'm going to wait. I'm going to keep on dancing. Oh. You may not have the opportunity. You may come out there in the car and hit your head off, and you don't have a time to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Oh, you may not have that opportunity. Don't take that chance with your life. Brother, sister, Jesus loves you, and he's waiting on you to come back to him. He said he was married to the backslider. So come on back. He loves it. Don't listen to the devil telling you, no, you done messed up so bad, he don't want you back. Yes, he do. All you got to do is open your mouth and say, Lord, forgive me. Save me again. Help me to do my first works over. Oh, he loves you today. Oh, yes, he does. Make up your mind today. Make a solid decision to stand firm in your salvation. You will follow him, and that he is your shepherd. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Wow. 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 Thank God. Thank God for the ministry and the word of Lady A. ministering to us tonight. She gave you the word. She gave you, which I hope you wrote down, the scriptures, that you can read them and meditate on them and go back and review them. And let the Lord continue to minister to you. She did an awesome job, honey. I'm so proud of you, godly proud of you, the way you let the Lord use you and walk forth the word. 813, our sister, 813, would you like to have comments or words tonight?
Oh, praise the Lord. It was so, that's food that is for, it's for eternity. She was talking about the sheep and the goats. And I thank God for every word. It was beautiful. And also, we really bought for the price. And when we bought for the price, we cannot tangle ourselves with foolishness. But the things that we really used to do, we don't do those things no more. We have to look directly in His face. And the Bible also tells us to study to show our self-approval to this to the Word of God. And she said a thing that we like. I love to hear. She said, open your mouth. Speak about the Word. And we have to tell somebody. Because and the Word. I thank God for the Word. And I really received the Word in my heart tonight. And to loving people, we have to share, we have to give, we have to help people. The word was so powerful. And what He has done for one, He will do for the others. And we really have to let our light shine.
Yeah.
And, you know, live the Christ life in love. Let your light shine. It's like a perfume, like a fragrance. Aroma. I mean, the word is so delicious. And how to worship God, to speak about how we should worship God. And then if we worship God in spirit and truth, we wouldn't get ourselves in so much trouble.
Amen.
We have to walk the word, and we have to pray morning, noon, and night.
Mm-hmm.
To live the life, we have to walk in truth. Stop lying, stop cheating, and doing all those things. And seek God each and every day, and He will give us the understanding. To follow Christ, we've got to follow Christ. We cannot follow a person that's doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, if we have the Spirit of Christ, we know He will give you discerning to know right from wrong. And no
mm-hmm.
one can, you can't follow a person. You have to follow Christ. Don't let mm-hmm. no one lead us astray, like you said before. Nobody should lead you astray.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody,
mm-hmm.
no. Because God loves us and He wants all of us to be saved.
Amen.
We cannot let circumstance let us turn back and go in the world, because where are we going to turn to? Where are we going to go to? There's no other place. There's no other place, thank Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. So we really have to have our loin girded with the truth, you know, and
Amen.
Putting on the faith, which is the word of righteousness, walk in righteousness,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how our feet should with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus. You know, we thank God. So, oh, beautiful are the feet that bend us, preach the gospel of peace. So, we know, thank God for our hands and feet. He gave us these things to use, and we can go preaching the word, tell somebody with your mouth, you know. And I really love the word. It was awesome. I was late, but thank God. And got some. Can learn this. This can last me for a long time, forever and ever and ever. And God
mm-hmm.
bless you, my dear sister prophet. God bless
mm-hmm.
you, Pastor. God bless you. Be encouraged. Keep on looking up. Sometimes the road gets steep and you know, steep and high, but keep on climbing. Don't look to the right or the left. Just continue looking directly in His face. And
amen.
You brought, amen. God bless you, and I thank you again.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Sister McIntosh, would you like to have words? I believe that was your name. 803, area code?
Yes, I just want to tell God thanks for the word as well. You know, I heard a lady say in my church that once she put on her almond, she never takes it off. So I just thank God for, you know, to know the parts of the almond. And as the good soldiers, we need to know the word of God, because a lot of people don't know what the almond is all about. They don't even know the parts of the almond. So it's good to know the word of God and study it, as you say, you know. And I just like the way she break every scripture down,
very
know,
good,
verse by verse, and to help all of us to get more and more understanding of what God is speaking to us. So I just thank God for the opportunity, and thank God for you all that is very faithful to bring forth the word with for all of us to be able to listen. He said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So by you doing this is build our faith, walk with Christ.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you. This is Apostle Stephen Amaker, and this is Deliverance by Faith radio service, and we appreciate it. We thank God. I pray that the word of God, and we know it will not go out on deaf ears. Somebody's going to hear, somebody's going to accept the word of God, and we praise God for the word again tonight. So we're going to give the service back to our speaker that she may have final words and close us out. Thank you. Thank you, lady, again.
Amen. Amen. Thank and praise God for his word on tonight. The Holy Ghost is just as awesome. The Holy Spirit, he said he'll be with you. And I just thank him for being with me on tonight. And I pray that something that was said will encourage you, edify you, and build you up in your walk in Christ. Because that's what we are, to be helpers one to another, to encourage each other, just to be a blessing to each other when we can. And so I thank the two sisters for being on the broadcast tonight and listening to the word of God. And I pray God's blessings upon you and those that will hear this broadcast in the archives, that the Lord will continue to strengthen you and keep you in all your ways, and that you'll continue to have a blessed week on the week, that the words and the scriptures that were given all by the Holy Spirit, that it'll be meet in your life, that it'll be meat that will continue to strengthen you as you go on in your walk with. Till next Wednesday at this time, be blessed.
God bless you, Prophetess.